This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
One dude has dominated this RFK story throughout. His name is Mark Seagraves. Joining us now, you can give him a follow at SeagravesNBC4. Mark, thanks for making time, man. How you
Appreciate
doing?
Appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. I love being with you guys. Thanks for having me again.
No problem. I'd like to start with Mark, I think your Twitter profile is one of the most badass on the planet because you follow zero people and you say, I'm going to read it verbatim so I don't butcher it here. Mark Seagraves at Seagraves NBC4 reporter, NBC4 Washington, breaking local news from D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. I am following you, but not on Twitter.
I love that.
But I have acquired a piece of information about you, Mark. I can report per source confidently.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Mark, like, what is this?
Mark drives a convertible. Bang!
I do have a midlife crisis mobile that I shoot around town in. It's somewhat pathetic, but I do like getting the sun on my face and
I think it's awesome.
The wind in my hair, what hair I have left.
I think it's awesome, dude.
There you go.
Right, let's get down to business, man. You reported this was coming last week. Yesterday, we get the big announcement. Where do things stand currently on RFK?
Well, look, we have the deal. The deal's in place. The mayor, the team, the NFL are all in lockstep. A lot of happy sports fans out there with the prospect of the team coming back to what Josh Harris is defined as the spiritual home of the Washington football team. But this is Washington, D.C., and this is a political town, and this is now a political football that's being tossed around. And that's what has to happen now. It's all in the hands of the D.C. Council. We know there were four members of the D.C. Council at the event yesterday who are clearly in favor of supporting this $1 billion deal of D.C. tax dollars going to this. We have heard already from three council members, most notably the chairman of the D.C. Council, who I would put down as likely no votes. The mayor will need 7 yes votes to get this completed, to get this to be an actual reality, a done deal. There are 12 members of the D.C. Council. She'll need 7 of them to vote yes. Right now she has 4 votes. That means she needs 3 more votes.
So can we go through, Mark? I'm sorry to interrupt you. Does the mayor get a vote?
She does not get a vote.
Okay. No,
the mayor does not get the vote.
Members.
She doesn't break ties. A tie goes to the loser in the D.C. Council.
That sucks.
So she should go
to the runner.
it does not. This isn't baseball.
So who are the yeses right now? Let's name some names and start doing some stuff.
Right. So you have Councilmember Brooke Pinto, Wendell Felder, who represents the ward where the stadium is actually located. You have Anita Bonds, and you have there's one more who I'm missing Kenyon McDuffie. So those are the 4 council members who were there yesterday. They're all on the Economic Development Committee of the council, and they're your yes votes. The 3 pretty much no votes are the chairman, Phil Mendelson, and that is huge. Charles Allen, who used to represent the stadium neighborhood, but he was redistricted out. The stadium was carved out of his district in Ward 6 just for this purpose, so that he would no longer be representing the stadium because they knew he opposed it. And then you have Brianne Nadeau, who put out a definitive, the most definitive statement of anybody yesterday, saying she's a no vote. Even Charles Allen and Phil Mendelson, I believe, in their public statements, have left themselves some wiggle room. Should they massage this deal to a point that is acceptable to them, they could vote yes without really going back on the word. Charles Allen has pretty much said he doesn't want a stadium there, period, but I think he's got some wiggle room. Mendelson has softened over the past year or two on his stance, and for him it's really about the money, and Mendelson is going to be up for re-election soon, so this is what's kind of driving his thought pattern.
Well, actually, this question, and every time I hear all these people going against stuff, the stadium's been there for 30 years, and it's gotten worse and worse every year. The whole area was a big eyesore until Events DC, over there came along, they built some fields over there. If they don't want a stadium and they talk, and now all of a sudden they're going to do everything, why the hell they haven't done it yet?
Well, so this is one thing that the entire council is in agreement on, is that they want to develop that 180-acre parcel, right? No matter whether there's a stadium in there or not, the council is wants to, because you're right, it's a blight. It's the entrance to the district from that side of the city. It's aligned with the monuments as you look down from the sky and have that great vista. And so every council member and the mayor, everybody agrees that those 180 acres have just been wasting away. It's riverfront land that should be developed. And, you know, they want to have that contiguous bike path that'll go all the way from Georgetown up to Bladensburg, you know, along the Potomac and Anacostia rivers. So everybody wants to develop it, and it will get developed. That the congressional legislation that President Biden signed last year that gave D.C. long-term control of that land paved the way, opened the door for development of that site. So that area is going to be developed. It will be housing. It will be retail. There will be restaurants and stuff like that. The question is whether there will be a stadium.
Talking with our friend Mark Seagraves here on the Rude Guest Hotline about the opposition and support for RFK Stadium. Mark, I got a whole, somebody sent me this study that was done by a research group in March, and the study, I tweeted out the findings, right? They're saying 4 in 5 D.C. voters, registered voters, across age, race, gender, ward, have positive feelings about the stadium, especially if the team is paying the bulk of the money, which is the case that's been laid out. Now, I recognize that when we take calls on this, like at a sports talk station, that we're going to get overwhelming positivity. So that's maybe not indicative of the entire voting block. But it sure seems to me that there is tremendous support for this. Do you at least see it that way? Or do you see like a – like to me this sounds like a couple people are being – like I listened to Mendelson on with – Mendelson was on with Grant and Danny yesterday. And Phil Mendelson, Chairman Mendelson, you have an open invitation to come on our program. It seemed like his biggest grievance was that the mayor did the negotiating without him. Like, is that the reason to stop a $4 billion project?
Well, let me just, you know, so you and your listeners know, Mayor Bowser and Chairman Mendelson don't play well in the sandbox. And they don't get along well. And there is often this type of personality, pettiness, back and forth that goes on between them that sometimes plays out publicly. And you're seeing it with this statement that the chairman made. Typically, in governments, the executive negotiates these big deals and then brings it to the legislature for approval. And that's how it goes. We saw this play out in Virginia, right, with the monumental deal that fell apart. The governor negotiated the deal with the team, then it brings it to the state legislature, and they shot it down, right? And the reason they shot it down partially was, again, personalities. We weren't included in the conversation. You didn't come to us. And then when you did, it was too late, and there was no wiggle room. You didn't want to negotiate. And that's what you're seeing playing out here. So it's not out of the norm for a mayor, any mayor, to negotiate with any developer, with any big business, to try to get lure them into their jurisdiction, you know, like Virginia did with Amazon, right?
Right.
And then give it to the legislature for them to, you know, approve and work out the finite details. But that said, the chairman does have a point that the mayor didn't engage with him or the council as a whole at all, particularly on the timeline of the council's approval. And that's what has him upset. The mayor is almost 2 months late in presenting her budget for next year to the council. And that's problematic. That creates problems for the council and the governance and the operation of the city overall. And so Mendelson is upset about that. At the same time, he's not being told about the specifics about the deal. You know, I have to tell you, he got the term sheet, the contract, because I gave it to his communications director. That's how he got the term sheet.
Like when you reported it.
Yes. And so he's upset about that. But the timeline, the contract that they have says the council has to approve this by July 15th. That's only a couple of months for the council to hold committee hearings, to hold public hearings, and then to hold a vote. And that's what he's really upset, that he wasn't even consulted about this this expedited timeline that now he has to manage. And so I think that's where you're seeing his angst. And I think it's, you know, I don't think that's what's going to kill the deal. What's going to kill the deal, if it doesn't get approved by the council, is $1.1 billion of tax dollars being spent on a stadium and infrastructure and other amenities around the stadium at a time when the mayor is about to announce cuts to services, possible furloughs, you know, all these hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in budget cuts, both in this year imposed by Congress and then next year imposed because of dwindling revenue. And so that's the hiccup, is it really, is that $1.1 billion price tag coming at the worst possible time fiscally for the district. You know, I mean, just think about it in your own home, right? You know, you got to pay the rent, you got to pay the utilities. Oh, but man, we want to take that vacation, right? And
right. And
how do you justify taking that vacation when you're having trouble paying your mortgage that same month? And that's the conversation that, you know, and that was the question I asked the mayor yesterday that got her, you know, a little upset at the press conference yesterday, having to defend this expenditure at this time.
Now, I ask this question. If you say that they're going to develop it anyway, they still got to build infrastructure, don't they?
Okay, so the comeback to that from, and I asked Charles Allen, the council member who was opposed to this, that exact question. And his response is, well, it depends. On a lot of big projects, especially fair market value projects, the developer would pay a lot of those infrastructure costs for sidewalks and roads and water lines and whatnot. Now, for affordable housing, which 30% of the housing on this site will be affordable housing, that's usually not the case. The government usually pays for that infrastructure. So, yes, it is reasonable to expect that the district would have had to put in some money regardless of what was going to go there. But when you start looking at a lot of these details, a lot of the things that the city is going to be paying for are specifically for the stadium. The remediation of the site, tearing down the current stadium, doing the contamination removal, doing sidewalks and bridges and whatnot around the stadium and the stadium foundation. So there are certainly costs associated with this that they would not incur if the stadium weren't there.
But the flip side, at least for me, is they also wouldn't be getting $2.7 billion in private investment if it's not a stadium.
Well, again, the $2.7 billion is for the stadium. It's not for the housing and the movie theaters and the grocery stores. You know, we don't know how much the team or the developer who, you know, the team is the developer for the site, is willing to put in. They didn't talk about that yesterday. They didn't talk about, and all of that is in the out years, right?
Right.
The immediate project is building the stadium. You won't start to see housing and retail and grocery and movie theaters or any or hotels until later on, in, you know, past 2030, you know, until 2032, 2035 in those out years. So You know, all of that is very much down the road. And as far as the, you asked about the support of the residents, we're going to find out very soon, because there's an effort to get something put on, an initiative put on the ballot to let voters decide whether they want to change the zoning. And if the proponents of that are able to get the tens of thousands of signatures that they need in order to get it on the ballot, if they have no problem getting those signatures, that'll be your first indicator that there's trouble with the residents, that there's opposition. There's a meeting tonight, and it'll be interesting to see how many people show up at this meeting tonight down on Capitol Hill, held by opponents of the stadium, how many people come out. I will say the mayor held a town hall at Eastern High School a couple of months ago, just a block from RFK, to present her idea and to hear from the public. And the room was packed. There were hundreds and hundreds of people in this high school auditorium, residents, neighbors, you know, from the surrounding area there. And I really expected to see people screaming and opposing. And we didn't see that. You know, there were people who said we'd rather have a grocery store. There were people who you know, were concerned about, will the soccer field still be there for the kids? Will the skate park still be there? Will the gymnastics teams that practice there still have space? But there wasn't this overwhelming opposition to it. And I think when you look at some of the polling that's been done, you know, in news, we call a lot of these polls push polls, because depending on how you ask the question, you know, would you rather have a stadium or would you rather get shot in the head? Right. Well, oh, I want the stadium. Oh, well, then most of the people want the stadium. You know, if you ask the question, if you just want the stadium, or you just want the team back, you probably will get a majority of people saying yes. But if you ask the question, do you want to spend $1 billion of your tax money on a stadium coming back? I think you'd probably get less of support than what you saw in that poll that went out recently.
It anecdotal perhaps, but that definitely tracks. And I think the mayor yesterday, I really thought she put on a masterclass at that press conference in her messaging and just how, like, her level of confidence, but not arrogance, in getting this done. And I think one of the things she keeps saying is we could do it all. Like, you can have the skate park, which I had no idea how many people cared about the skate park, but yesterday it sure was a hot topic. But you can have the skate park and the grocery store and the stadium. Like, you could do everything. Mark, thank you for making time for us.
Appreciate you, Mark.
Two quick ones I need to ask, because I don't understand this. I believe I thought I heard you, or maybe it was Ted Oberg, say, does the Senate, like the U.S. Senate or the House, did they have to approve whatever the development plans are, or is that part of the terms in giving the land back to the city? Did I hear that somewhere?
No. What the Congress's role, as with every single law and budget that the District of Columbia passes, because D.C. is not a state and they're treated like a federal government agency, which is, you know, puts D.C. in a very unfair position that no other state or city in the country has to deal with. So Congress approves every bill, every budget that comes through D.C. So when the D.C. Council votes on the budget that will have the funding for the stadium or the legislation that would create the zoning for the stadium, if those got approved by the D.C. Council, they would have to go to Congress for Congress's approval. Congress has 30 days to disapprove legislation, and the vast majority of the time, they just ignore it and they let it go in. We have seen this Republican Congress in the past year or two get a little bit more active in D.C. things. But so Congress would not, but look, at the end of the day, the Congress or the president, if they want to weigh in, you know, they can. But technically, their only role in this would be to approve the legislation once it's approved by the council. So they will have a role. But, you know, we have seen already from the president of the United States to members of the Senate and the House cheering this deal on. And you know, it was one of the only bipartisan moves this Congress has done in the past couple of years, was to pass the legislation clearing the way for a stadium or any development to happen here. So I don't anticipate that Congress will do anything to block this. I think that if the council looks like they're going to disapprove it, I think then you may hear from the president or Congress asking questions as to why they would kill what they see as such a lucrative deal for the city.
Mark, you are the man.
Appreciate
Thank you
Mark.
For your time, dude. Seriously.
Hey, anytime. I love being on live radio. And I got to tell you, I get more calls from people after being on your show than any other radio show or even TV that I do. So I appreciate when you guys have me.
All right, dude, man. Appreciate it. We appreciate that right back. Thank you, dude. Everybody give him a follow at Seagraves NBC4, Segraves, NBC4. Now, the moment many of you have been waiting for the last time in our program, but you can get tickets throughout the afternoon on Grant and Danny. We're giving away Caps Game 5 tickets. We're doing it every hour, 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20, and there's a chance to win right now. Caller number 9, 800-636-1067. You will win a pair of tickets to Game 5 for the 2025 playoffs with the Washington Capitals tomorrow night against Montreal at Capital One Arena. Caller 9 right now, 800-636-1067. That's right. Pair of tickets for Game 5. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. Next giveaway is 2:20 on Grant and Danny.
Hey, it's B. Mitch and JP here. If you're looking for comfort and convenience wherever life takes you, then you need to turn to our friends over at Rood. With Wi-Fi compatibility, you have full control of the heating and cooling system right from your phone. Forgot to turn down the heat before vacation? Adjust it in seconds. Plus, you'll get alerts if something's not right. These guys are the absolute best, and they've installed new systems in my house, and I felt the difference instantly, and I still feel the difference.
Dude, last night was the first night I got to experience life with Rood. Mm-hmm. My guy Jim came out on Sunday and installed this new Rood unit. The technology's bananas. I got an app now. I can turn it up. I can cool it off. Whatever I need to do. It is crazy, dude, how much cold. Like, the noise no longer exists. These things are whisper quiet, and it was an entirely different level of cool in my house. It was really, really impressive. And the way it's impressive is they have this variable speed compressor that ensures precise temperature and humidity control. It's getting the humidity out that changes everything. These things are super efficient, even in the most extreme conditions. It's comfort and performance perfectly balanced. B, I know you've gotten the tax savings. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to get the tax savings now that I got this thing. And I can't wait to watch my electric bills go down. Rude's the truth, dude.
Yeah, it's going to be some more braces in your kid's mouth. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And remember, if it ain't Rude,
it ain't right. Danny Frank, going to need some Oasis tickets, dog. Right now, though, we got to talk some baseball. Before we do it, my guy Alberto in Hagerstown won a pair of tickets for Game 5 to go see the Caps knock the Habs out of the playoffs. What up, Alberto?
What's going on, JP? How's it going, man? Thank you, man. I appreciate it for the tickets, man. I'm excited.
Congrats on the tickets. We got two questions. Who are you going to bring?
Yeah. My son.
Oh, that's awesome.
There you go, man.
How old is he?
Yeah. He's 12 years old.
Oh, that's so dope, dude.
Yeah.
You guys got jerseys?
Yeah, we got shirts. We don't got jerseys, but we got shirts. We got red shirts, so we're good. We're good to go. We got flags, so we got everything.
I love it.
There you go.
You live up in Hagerstown?
Yes, sir.
How long is that drive?
Leave early.
Yeah, traffic sucks.
Yeah, it's a drive. It takes me almost close to 2 hours fighting all that traffic.
Oh, man. Let the boy, let him sleep in, I guess, Thursday morning. He can miss first period or whatever.
I'm going to try to sleep in myself.
That a boy. Yo, have a great time, man. Bring home a dub.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right. Have a good day, fellas.
Alberto and Hagerstown. You know what? It obviously has taken more coordination than we usually do. I've loved the ticket giveaway and then getting to talk to the person that won them because they're so excited. They're all bringing different people. Like, he's bringing his son. That one dude's trying to bring his girlfriend. They have different goals for the evening.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's wholesome. What's not fun is that the Washington Nationals yesterday gave up 3 touchdowns and they missed a 2-point conversion. Toby Altizer joins us now, does Nats podcast here for Odyssey. Toby, what the hell happened yesterday, dude?
Yeah, pitching was not great yesterday. It was a bit of a struggle. The bullpen actually had been pitching a little bit better, and then yesterday at the end of the game, it was just not pretty. So, you know, I think it's going to be the case all season long where there's going to be some games that you feel like they should win and the bullpen blows it, and there's going to be some games where you give up a couple of touchdowns because the bullpen isn't very good. So not great, but they did split with the Mets, so you got to feel good about that.
All right. Yesterday was just a bad game. The one on Sunday was almost, like, as bad as yesterday was, Sunday's win was almost equally awesome, so those two just kind of negate out. Right now, they're not quite playing 500 baseball. They're two games under, but the bats, man, the bats. Let's start with James Wood. I think he's tied for third in the majors in home runs. Just looks like the absolute real deal.
He absolutely is. I mean, he's special because everyone was complaining early on in his career and even early this season because everything that he would hit would be left center and the opposite way. And they're like, why doesn't he pull the ball? Yesterday, it was a lost game, but he pulled the ball into the second deck in right field. No problem. Easy swing. He pulled the ball earlier in the homestand, I believe, and second deck, no problem. Like, he's such a special player. He's got a really unique ability, JP, where he hits the ball so hard, so everybody plays back on the infield. And he's also so fast that if he doesn't catch one and he beats it into the ground, that's probably a base hit too. So he's a really, really good player. I think he's improving defensively every single day. And the bats, I think, has superstar written all over it. And he's just getting started. There's still stuff that he has to work on. There's still things he can improve. And he's already, like you said, one of the best in the league in terms of homers. So he's been everything is advertised, if not even a little bit more.
Why are people mad if you hit a home run right field or not? I mean, it's gotten to a point where you got all these analytical people and these fans, too, who are just annoying as hell. If you hit a home run right field, it's a home run, right?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. Hold on, people are worried about that?
Some people were frustrated because, but the guy that he gets comped to all the time, and it's a lofty expectation. I don't even know if it's expectation. It's just because size similarities, Aaron Judge.
Okay.
And when you think about how Aaron Judge started his career, how do you, I'm sure JP, you probably jumped in on this at some point just as a Yankee hater. He would hit them all to the short portion right field, right? As a right-handed hitter,
he's always going.
Well, exactly. As he grew, he can still hit it out the other way because he's got special power that not many people in the league have. And then as he grew, we started to hit him up the middle. We started pulling the ball. And so that, to me, is the thing with James Wood. Anybody that was screaming about that was just ignorant, my opinion.
You think if he hits 500 home runs to right field, somebody going to come and say, well, you only hit him to right field. If they were, I'll kick him in the ass.
It does not matter because the thing about James Wood is he's got power really unlike many people in the league.
Sydney Sweeney's in the bar at your hotel. She says, come to my room. Do you worry about the type of mattress?
No, which floor?
Like, what are we talking about?
What floor?
We're mad where he hits the home
what
runs?
What floor? Yeah. Is your room close to the elevator?
Yeah, dude.
You're just going.
Yeah. You have non-allergenic sheets? Shut up.
You know
keep
what annoys
runs.
Me is the people that are saying it, that were complaining and worried, they can't hit a home run at all.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's foolish. It's something that there's not many people that can do what he does.
My Lord.
And people would all of a sudden be frustrated if he started pulling the ball and all of a sudden he's rolling over to second base all the time. They'd be complaining he's not going the other way. So you can't please everyone.
I have a wildly question that I did not expect to ask today. Does Toby kind of look like James Wood?
I've heard this like 3 to 4 times in the last couple of days.
Look at that picture.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I think
Toby,
Jeff said that.
You need to go
that,
get you some stilts, though.
James Wood's legitimately
no
a
kid.
Foot
y'all,
taller than
y'all gotta be Toby. Saying hi.
Well, I know Kerwin has this play that when there's like a big crowd, he brings a stepladder.
Yeah.
Then Massendu, whenever they interview James Wood postgame in the clubhouse, he has to get a stepladder.
That's funny. James Wood is awesome. He's the most exciting thing here since they traded Soto away. Anybody that has any complaints with that, please give them Landfill's personal cell phone.
And let him talk about it.
We'll let him handle that.
Speaking of Landfill.
Yeah.
My man started off slow. Cruz.
Landfill the hater.
How well is Cruz doing now?
Oh, he's doing awesome. He's the thing that I like about Dylan Cruz is even when he wasn't hitting.
Look at him when you're talking.
Yeah, look directly at Landfill. And Landfill, confirm you're listening.
Even when Dylan Cruz wasn't hitting the baseball well, he was still making winning ball. He's a winning ball player because he's good defensively. He's good on the base paths. And then you look over the last 15 days, and he's really come on. Last 15 days, batting average is .321, on base at .345, .604 slug. He's hit 4 homers, 6 RBIs, only struck out 9 times, stole 3 bags. He's doing a little bit of everything. He's a special player. And the thing that I really liked is the game on, I think it was Friday night, They were up by two runs. A ball gets hit down the right field line with two outs. It's a do-or-die play at the line. He dives for it. He misses it. It allows everyone to score. And so now they're down 5-4, or 4-3, whatever, going into the bottom of the ninth. He comes up, leading off the bottom of the ninth. What does he do? Triple off the wall in right field. And so all of a sudden, he's right into scoring position. They come back and win that ball game. Nothing bothers him. Nothing phases him. He's got the right mentality to be a great leader for this team, and he does everything the right way, and it's good to see that bat get going. He looks like the Dylan Cruz you drafted number two of.
I'm about to get him a hat right in the under his beard, going to say, see that, Landfill? So he can tip it up every time we get on first base.
Landfill, do you want to respond to Toby's praise of Dylan Cruz?
He's hitting .229.
Yeah, he started off at .056.
Baseball's a long
season. The man
season.
Is balling
it's
out now.
Bad. 29th.
He's balling out now, Landfill.
That's bad, though,
I don't think anybody would knock that based on where he started.
His last week, he's 9-26.
Olivia
he's doing all right
Nockland.
Now.
I think that's good.
You said Olivia Nockland.
You said nobody would knock it.
Oh.
Landfill, what does his average have to be where you have to buy me, Toby, and B. Mitch, a smoothie and or a milkshake. You can decide per person.
Much. No, you're going to probably buy a
Do you have any idea how much smoothies cost? They're like $9 a piece. That ain't happening.
Milkshakes.
But it would have to be $2.86.
Ooh, $2.86.
So if he gets above $2.86 this season, you're buying us all milkshakes and or smoothies.
It's not going to happen remotely because, again, they're $9 each, and I won't be doing that.
That ice cream you got was $15.
I'll remain a hater until he hits $2.86.
What happens at 286? Will you shave your head?
No.
You won't shave your head at 286?
Not even the slightest. He was second overall pick.
Shave your legs.
Next time I see Dylan, I'm telling him I got a personal investment to get above 286.
And tell him he got some guys cheering for him, and they'll help him beat up the guy that's hating on him.
Yeah, I'll tell him he's got some haters. Maybe that'll fuel him a little bit.
A hater.
He got a hater. One. Singular. They are off to Philly tonight?
Yep, 3 in Philly. It's a good one tonight, by the way. Mackenzie Gore on the hill for the Nats. Zach Wheeler, a repeat of opening day. Gonna be fun.
Gore was great on opening day.
Yeah, we'll see if he can repeat that. He's been kind of up and down. Some starts he looks awesome. Some starts maybe not as great. So it's just about being sharp for him and consistency. But really, the starting rotation's been really good all season.
And CJ was crushing balls early. I know he dealt with that injury. He's back. How's he looking?
Yeah, I mean, we were worried about him running, and then that he scored from first on James Woods' walk-off on Friday night on just a routine single up the middle. So
speed, baby.
Speed, and also wanted to shout out your guy, Mitchell Parker. I know you guys are the foremost Mitchell Parker show.
Damn right we are.
And it's funny because he really struggled the other day. JP gave up 6 earned runs, and his ERA ballooned up to 2.65.
Dude, Toby, I'll never – Toby's like, oh, they've got this 6'6 lefty debuting tonight. Nobody's high on him. And that's when Brian and I jumped into action. We said, a 6'6 lefty? We're high on him. Yeah. Bang. Done. We're in.
He's high, we high.
We're all high.
Yeah. In the break, I'll tell you his nickname if you didn't already know it.
I look forward to finding out. Weren't you telling me about his sneakers and everything?
Yeah, he's a big Skechers guy.
Didn't he give you a pair of sneakers?
He did not give me a pair of sneakers. He gave someone a pair of sneakers.
Toby was sitting them things. That dude was 6-something.
Yeah, there's no chance I'm fitting in his
Toby wear it as a hat. Thank you, Toby. Nats Insider
appreciate
for the B-Mitch and Finley program.
I appreciate it.
When we come back,
check us in the mail.
We're going to make some bets and see if we can convince White Brian to let Jeff cut his hair.
Hey, it's B-Mitch here. Now that I'm a licensed rider, I can't wait to take advantage of this incredible weather and ride this spring. Hell, I should be riding today. I especially feel good about it because I know Law Tigers have my back. They're more than lawyers. They're riders, too. They've supported injured riders and their families for over 20 years. And they're advocates for the riding community that I'm now so proud to be a part of. The Law Tigers, the motorcycle lawyers. Visit them at lawtigers.com. Kalfas and Nachman, Olivia Donahue.
Train roll on. This is one of my favorite recurring bits on the show, Landfill. It might be my favorite Skinner song, too. We have breaking news on the fan, but I think I got to keep that one in my pocket.
Yeah, keep it in your pocket.
Okay. Also, I forgot to mention this. We're all going to find out here in 13 minutes or so. I was running late this morning. Traffic sucked. I had to park on the street. I just raw-dogged it on the street. I didn't pay. I didn't do anything. We'll see what happens when I get out.
I'm using another word, but that's not a good one to use.
Raw butt. That's what Jeff says about how I go to the bathroom.
Yeah, you might have got a ticket, bro, because she was definitely out there.
There's no Nats game today, though. No home Nats game.
Yeah, that just means it's not double.
What is that ticket? 30?
50.
50?
Yes.
Damn. Landfill, you got to chill. If you want me to get through the end of the show without saying something stupid, you got to chill.
Landfill say a lot of stupid stuff, too. Y'all twins.
We haven't heard from White Brian today. I'm pretty sure he hasn't spoken today. White Brian, there's a lot of talk about having someone here at the station cut your hair. You can have sort of a no-trade clause in this. Obviously, you've agreed that you're going to let somebody here cut your hair. Who would you like it to be?
I don't think I've agreed.
I'm pretty sure you did, right, Lando?
It's been proposed.
I think he agreed, right, B?
His exact words were, please inform Grant Paulson I would like him to cut my hair.
Do you want Grant to cut your hair?
Is that the best option?
He has experience. He's cut my hair before.
Your hair was down to your butt, Landfill?
It was long.
And he just shaved it off?
No, he used scissors. He's like a professional barber, not an animal.
Okay.
He used scissors.
Was he kind? Shoulder rub?
I just grabbed you by the hair and drag you out and it pop out your damn little follicles.
Damn, man.
It's intense.
It's aggressive.
I think Jeff's a good option, White Brian.
I think that's a terrible option.
Jeff, do you think you could cut his hair?
Yes.
White Brian, can we do this tomorrow?
Yeah, really.
12:30, we'll cut White
Brian,
Brian's
I'll
hair.
I'll do it for you, bro. I know how to cut hair.
You get your hair cut by a future Hall of Famer.
We can be partners.
Yeah, you're kind of clinging to a hairline that ain't really there hairline, anyway.
You're pulling your hair from the back. Your hair really start back here, though.
Yeah,
you may as well stop pulling it way up there now. Act like your hair that long. Not that long.
10 more cuts.
Tomorrow at 1:30, B. Mitch shaves White Brian's head. The two Brians. It makes sense. Are you good with that? Can we promote it?
We'll see.
We'll see. Let's make some bets. Or let's just close the show out because it's late. White Brian, who did what last night?
B. Mitch lost, JP won, I lost, Jeff lost, and Landfill won.
Yeah. All right. J-Dogs forever. So I'm 1-0. What do you like tonight, B?
Martina Okolova.
I don't know who's playing tonight.
What sport is that, Jeff? Martina Okolova?
She literally just tipped off. It was tennis, but too late now.
You know what, Jeff? I don't care. You want Martina Okolova and she just tipped off? Let it play. The play stands.
He got it.
We got a lot of puck tonight, man.
I'm going NBA.
Okay.
I'm taking the Braves money line. They're starting TBD. Anytime you get a chance to bet on TBD, you do it.
I'm taking the Clippers.
The Clippers.
And the over.
I'm taking the Carolina Hurricanes. The Devils, the New Jersey Devils, are cooked, and Carolina finishes them off. Oh, damn. That's minus 275. I can't take that. I'll take the puck line. Minus one. What is the puck line? Yeah, dude. That's even money. I'll take -1.5 Hurricanes to kick the Devils' ass. White Brian, did you make a pick?
Nuggets.
All right. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Thank you to Barstool Nate. Thank you to Thor Nystrom. Thank you to Mark Seagraves. Thank you to Toby Altizer. Thank you to everybody who called in. Today was a really fun show. Congrats to all the people that won tickets. Your next opportunity to win Caps Game 5 tickets coming up at 2:20 on Grant and Danny. If you made it this far, I owe you beer.